We've spent weeks exploring services for veterans in our region as part of our Local Focus joint project with Southern Oregon Public TV. The project leads up to the debut of the Rick Burns film Debt of Honor next Tuesday night at 8 on SOP TV. That is, not coincidentally, the night before Veterans Day. And that program will be followed by a Local Focus show exploring services for vets with an emphasis on disabled vets. Think of that show as a TV version of the Jefferson Exchange. Today, here on The Exchange, we'll get to know of the many services of Rogue Valley Veterans and Community Outreach based in Medford, rather than, say, RVVCO. Apparently, they call themselves REVCO more often than not. REVCO offers a wide range of services generally to vets who need help getting on their feet financially. A couple of guests in the studio, more than a couple. Samantha Bricks is the REVCO Executive Director. Samantha, thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Hi, good morning.
Mike Whitfield is the Grants and Per Diem GPD Case Manager and also in charge of outreach. Welcome, Mike.
Good morning. Thank you.
Michael Swick is with us as well. He's the lead case manager for something called SSVF, Supportive Services for Veteran Families. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you. Good morning.
And we also have with us Wayne Holbrook, who is a graduate of the Grants and Per Diem program. Wayne, welcome to The Exchange.
Thank you and good morning.
Good morning. Let's start with you, Samantha. Give us an overview. This REVCO, Rogue Valley Veterans and Community Outreach, was apparently founded in 1979. So anybody who thinks that challenges for vets are a new thing certainly would have to come up short when they look at that date of origination for your organization.
Yeah, that's true. We got our first VA grant back in 2004. Started out with 10 beds for our grant and per diem program. In 2005, we got another set of beds and then another grant in 2007. So now we have a total of 40 beds for our grant and per diem program. So since then, back in 2013, we got our SSVF grant, which is the Supportive Services for Veteran Families. So, Mike, if you want to talk a little bit about that program.
Yeah, the SSVF grant's a federal grant through the VA, and it's for helping, like the title says, it's for veterans and or veteran families that are either literally homeless or at risk of losing their housing. And the major focus recently has been on the literally homeless veteran, but the way the grant helps is we have a staff of case managers and peer mentors and an eligibility specialist. And what we do is we work with veterans that come to us or refer to us that are homeless, and the grant can help. We help them identify housing. We help them address any barriers they might have, like spotty rental histories or bad credit or criminal backgrounds. Work on addressing those things, getting them approved for housing, whether it's an apartment or a house for their family. And then once we get them approved for a residence, we help them move in. And then the grant can continue. What we do is we case manage the veteran, and we meet with them at least monthly, usually more often than that. Excuse me. And then what we do is, based on our relationship with them and a bunch of different factors, depending, you know, their income, bills, budgets, things like that, the grant can help a veteran family for up to 9 months in a 24-month period. And like I said, you know, it's on month-to-month evaluations. And then while they're in the program with us, we also work to make sure that they develop coping skills and financial strategies and everything so that they are financially secure and stable when they exit our program, so that when they stop working with us, they don't just become homeless again.
All right. So the point is to get them out of the program. And I don't mean to say that in a nasty way, but just the sense that you want to get them on their feet and allow them to be self-sufficient. I mean, self-sufficiency is part of the core mission, isn't it, Samantha?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what we do. For the Grant Per Diem program, when we bring them in, primarily they come out of the VA source. Some of them come straight from the street or from the gospel mission. But they come in, we do an intake, we make an assessment, figure out what their barriers are. The veteran identifies what goals that they have in mind and what they want to do. They can stay in the Grant Per Diem program up to 24 months. And so what happens is we identify a house. We have three houses in the community, and we have a case manager for each of those houses. The veteran is put with a case manager, and then what we do is we have our VA liaison come in and sit down with the veteran and the case manager, and they create what's called a recovery plan, and it's where the veteran identifies the goals that they have in mind to move forward in their life. And so they get to be in the driver's seat of their plan and what they want to do. And so when they identify housing or maintaining sobriety or stabilizing in mental health or medical issues, then that's what they work on in those 24 months while they're with us. And then we help them look for permanent housing to move into. So it's a really great transitional program.
All right. We can easily rattle off the acronyms and need to go back every so often and pick them up. So when you say VA Source, that's the Veterans Administration or Department of Veterans Affairs, Southern Oregon Rehabilitation Center and Clinics.
Yes.
Okay. We had folks from there on last week, so which a lot of people still refer to in the Rogue Valley as
the Dom.
Yeah. For when it was called the Veterans Domiciliary. And so, Mike Whitfield, you're in charge of the GPD, the Grants and Per Diem program that Samantha was just talking about. How many people are you able to bring through there in the course of a year?
Well, I caseload 13 on any given day, and right now I'm pretty full almost. And so I would say on average for a year, I think we don't have...
Usually 100 to 200 people usually come through the Grant Per Diem program in a year.
Yeah, in a year. So, and one thing that I do is I'm pretty much like a guidance counselor. I look at what their needs are and what their wants are in their recovery plan and try to help them with guiding them through the community partners that we have with all the supportive services throughout the valley and try to get those services pointed in the right direction to them and help them be accountable for the program guidelines and to get them where they want to be and try to help motivate them and keep them lifted up and overcoming any barriers that they're facing.
Generally, how old? And are we talking about wounded vets or just an array of different people with different circumstances?
We have anything from we've had up to World War II veterans up to present day. So, of course, there's not too many World War II veterans left. But I would say our average age is probably between their 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so a little after the Vietnam era, certainly.
Sure.
But first Gulf War vets, that sort of thing. Okay. Much more to talk about with the folks at REVCO, which is the shortened version of Rogue Valley Veterans and Community Outreach. Mike Whitfield, Wayne Holbrook, Michael Zwick, and Michael Zwick. You're not the movie producer. Samantha Bricks is the executive director. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with our guests and your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us to talk about services. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're learning about the services provided for veterans in the Rogue Valley through an organization called Rogue Valley Veterans and Community Outreach, or REVCO, part of our continuing look at veteran services around the region through our local focus project with Southern Oregon Public TV, which we'll talk more as the program goes on. But let's meet once again the folks at REVCO. Samantha Bricks is the executive director. Mike Whitfield is a grants and per diem case manager, also in charge of outreach. Michael Zwick is the lead case manager for SSVF, supportive services for veteran families. And Wayne Holbrook is a graduate of the grants and per diem program. You can join us on the exchange, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. And our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Wayne Holbrook, let's find out a little bit from you, since you had a chance to use the services of REVCO at some point. Tell us a bit about how you got into the Grants and Per Diem program in the first place and then what the progress was from there.
Well, I was out at the VA for 10 months, and my case manager out there had an application, and so I filled it out, and he, you know, gave me the phone number to call down there. So I called, and I actually talked to Mike Whitfield, and he actually had a bed open, and I was getting close to getting out. So when I got out of the VA, I transitioned over to the Grant Per Diem program, and I stayed there for about a little over a year, about 18 months, I think. And during that time I was there, I'd actually applied to go to school, which I'm still doing right now. And, you know, I worked on my recovery because I'm in sobriety and just – did what I had to do, you know, to progress and move forward and put the past behind me. And that's what I did, and that's what I'm doing today still. You know, I'm in a different recovery house, but the tools that I learned from there I utilize in my daily life.
What branch of the service were you in, and when did you get out?
I was in two branches of the service. I was in the Navy, and I was in the Army, and I got out in 2005. I'm a Desert Storm vet and an Operation Iraqi Freedom vet. So, you know, I had 16 years and I was medically retired. And, you know, I do receive services through the VA that's where all my medical care is taken care of. And, you know, it's been a long ride, and it's been a, you know, I've had my ups and downs, but, you know, I've always been able to rely on Samantha Bricks and Mike Whitfield for support. So
how does the approach work, Mike Whitfield? I mean, when you're getting to know people who are going to be your clients, you must be spending a fair amount of time at the Southern Oregon Rehabilitation Center and clinics.
I do spend a little bit of time there to get to know the guys, but most of the time when they come in, that's when we really get to know each other, because I do really intense case management. I see them on average at least once a week for at least the first month or two, and then as they progress in their program, we will go to every 2 weeks. But we stay close and in close proximity to each other, and we stay in tune to I get to know really what's happening in their lives and try to be a really big support structure for their lives and try to guide them, like I say, guide them with the resources that they need to succeed while holding them accountable to their program.
Intense case management, just meaning you spend a fair amount of time with them.
I spend a lot of time with them, yeah. I get to really know them and get really in depth with their lives. So, and we become pretty invested in these guys, which is it's amazing to see how one who is trying to change their life and is willing to take those steps in their lives, what a difference it makes with the supportive services that we get to provide them with.
And Wayne, what was that like for you to get a case manager who was spending that much time with you? I mean, you really got to develop this reputation before you ever left the grounds of the real the Dom.
You know, it is good to, you know, get to know your case manager, because it's somebody that, you know, if you got something going on, you know that you can take that to him and behind closed doors, and it'll stay confidential. And it's really beneficial to have somebody that's willing to, you know, help you take different avenues, you know, that to help you give support and advice, you know, like if something's not going right, you can take it to him. And if you need help in, you know, like for me, financial was one of my biggest ones. And he sat down with me and showed me how to make a budget. And Samantha did the same thing. Mm-hmm. We sat down and we came up with a budget while I was still in the grant per diem program. And I try to utilize that budget that was established in the grant per diem program.
Samantha, how much does that happen, though, that you're giving some really basic life skills to people who come through and seek the services of Rogue Valley Veterans and Community Outreach?
Well, I would say for a large majority of the veterans that come through our program, a lot of these veterans have spent a lot of time on the street, have been out of the workforce for a really long time. They used drugs and alcohol to self-medicate to deal and cope with some of their issues, mental health, and other things. And so, you know, it's kind of like starting all over for them. And so when they come in, sometimes we do have to start with the basics of daily life, creating a budget, learning to live within that budget, cleaning up after yourself and being mindful of being in a communal living environment and things like that. And so, yeah, it's a pretty common thing.
It's not just cleaning up what you got now and what stands before you, but something you had said a few minutes ago, Michael Swick, about sometimes you have people with a spotty rental history. How do you deal with obstacles like that where you can't go and erase the past, but you're trying to make it good enough for a landlord to consider these people as a good risk?
One of the main ways that we address that right now is I've been working on this grant for 2 years now, and we've established some really good relationships with landlords in the community, and that number of relationships is growing all the time. So one of the easiest ways to address that is, well, specifically with like a rental history, is if you have a landlord or a property management company that is either empathetic or wants to support veterans, a lot of times, even though our potential tenant, my client, the veteran, may not look so good on paper or a background check, it's almost like they're given a second chance. And because the grant is behind them, and, you know, the landlord knows that the rent's going to get paid one way or the other while the veteran is in our program. And then then our goal, or my goal, is you know, once we do get somebody a second chance, is to make sure that they succeed. So not only for them, so that when they exit back out into the community, that they're successful, but also so that you know, that our program appears to the you know, to the property owners of Jackson County, that, you know, it's the program's successful, it works, and you know, we're sending tenant candidates to them that you know, do well in our program and then succeed going out back into society. Some of the other things, like if they have bad credit, what we do is we'll refer them to credit consumer counseling. We'll get them set up with that, somebody there, and then they can start working on that. Criminal history, a lot of times that's the same as rental history. It's just, you know, if it's there, we're just always honest about it. And then we, you know, we try to get the landlord to understand, and then, you know, go forward from there.
You know, the name of the program, again, Supportive Services for Veteran Families, SSVF. Are you helping any families while their service members are still in service?
No, they have to be discharged from the military. They can't be active service.
Okay. Is that pretty much for anybody who's getting any services from Revco?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Revco, again, is Rogue Valley Veterans and Community Outreach. We're talking to a bunch of people from that organization right now based in Medford. Samantha Bricks is the executive director. Michael Swick, you just heard, is the lead case manager for SSVF, Supportive Services for Veteran Families. Mike Whitfield is a grants and per diem case manager, also in charge of outreach, and Wayne Holbrook has been through the grants and per diem program. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Jeannie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, thank you guys so much. My neighbor's a vet, Vietnam vet, the fly boy, and he had a stroke about 4 months ago. Well, I don't know where, a rehab and a hospital, and they sent him home without a walker, a wheelchair, and he couldn't walk. And he had a friend, and then I'm the neighbor, took the cats, and we called this one number, and I'm so sorry I can't remember. The VA gave us a number to call to help veterans, and they brought him a wheelchair. He got a care provider to help clean his house. He got a nurse that came every day, a physical therapist, and now he's walking. He goes out and starts his old pickup truck every morning. It's just so beautiful what was done to help him to the veterans.
Sounds great. Thanks for sharing that, Jeannie. And is some of that is you guys, but some is not, it sounds like. Is that a fair assumption?
Yes.
Okay. Want to get, you know, the more we delve into this project here at Jefferson Public Radio and Southern Oregon Public TV, I realize there's a fairly dizzying array of services out there. I'm not feeling any particular stress. I don't need these services. But I can imagine that somebody who is feeling some stress because they've got things going on in their lives that are not going that well and need services might get a little boggled by all this. So is there any one-stop shopping, for example, where, I mean, do you guys handle yourselves as a clearinghouse, too, to say, okay, we don't do that, but we know who does, and you send them there?
Absolutely. So our front desk, she's absolutely amazing. They come in the door, and, you know, she'll have a brief conversation about what kind of services are you looking for, and if it's not something that we actually provide, then she will call whatever community partner that takes care of that service, and we'll either set up an appointment, or we will get one of their representatives to come over to our agency to meet the veteran or whoever. So,
and even if we don't know, we're not afraid to pick up the phone and call somebody who might know. So we're all about trying to help them with whatever they've got on their plate and try to get him the services they need. So
we try to do what we call a warm handoff, where when the veteran is in our office, we don't just give him a card and say, go to this address or call this person. We'll try, like Samantha and Mike said, we'll try to call them and introduce them while they're there, and, you know, introduce them to the community resource or person that the veteran needs to get in contact with.
So it's not a shove. It's an extra, like, would you please take this fella's hand?
Almost
literally.
Almost.
All right. Just in general, we're talking about people who've been discharged from the military. They're starting over, so it sounds like that's already a financial tough place to be. Is it just sort of natural that somebody who hasn't been out of the military long is going to be in pretty tough financial services? Is that an assumption we often make? Is it a fair assumption to make if we do?
Generally, by the time a veteran gets, at least to me, for our services, they've generally got financial challenges. And that could be for a variety of reasons. If they're a younger vet, maybe they, you know, haven't been in the workforce that long, or they haven't been saving their money, or, you know, often is the case is, you know, just sometimes poor life decisions lead to financial problems, and then, you know, they need that that financial assistance as a component of our treatment for them.
And that's one thing about being in the military. You're not in the military to get rich. So, but one thing that we do in the Grant Per Diem program is, like, as a case manager, I work with them hand in hand with budgeting skills, and we do a monthly budget and try to figure out what their income is, what their bills are, what they need to pay off from their past, and try to make a payment plan and then also a savings plan. So one thing that I had the privilege to do is I came through this program 8 years ago. And while I was in the program, I got to save like almost $15,000 and I got to go to school. And one thing that we do is we try to help them, you know, the veterans, save as much money as they possibly can while they're in the program to get them with the services that they need. If they need SSVF program, or if they need HUD-VASH, which is another acronym for the veterans VA housing program. But we try to guide them with either getting their VA disability claims or Social Security claims. And we just try to meet them on their needs and try to get them where they want and they need to be in their life when they do leave the program.
Is there any disability requirement for eligibility in the program? Let's talk about what some of the basic tenets of eligibility are for the programs offered at RevCo.
Sure. The eligibility for both programs is 1 day of active duty outside of basic training, and anything other than a dishonorable discharge. So we have pretty loose requirements compared to maybe receiving health benefits through the VA, which is like 24 months active duty, honorable discharge. So we're trying to help the veterans who kind of tend to fall through the cracks, who may not receive any services through the VA. So, yeah.
All right, so that's interesting. So there actually is a zone here where you can fill in where the VA does not go.
Right, absolutely. We try to fill in those gaps with these services.
Yet it sounds like you mentioned SSVF based on a grant from the VA. Is GPD, Grants and Per Diem, also based on a grant from VA?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. So VA doesn't handle the services themselves, but they'll give the grants to organizations like RevCo.
Absolutely. They provide funding to nonprofits like us to provide those services because they know that there is this huge gap in services in most communities across the nation. And so they provide this funding so that nonprofits can do the work that they're unable to do because of the strict requirements that they have and their eligibility.
So was the need just rising? I mean, given the fact that by the time you got your first grant, you said in 2004, we'd already been through first Gulf War, second Gulf War, Afghanistan. So it sounds like there was just a greater need for services generally. Is that why you got the grant at that time?
Absolutely. And over the course of 3 years, we went from 10 beds to 40 beds. And typically by the time fall and winter get here, we have anywhere from 10 to 25 people on a wait list waiting to get into Grant and Per Diem.
Okay. That was one of the other questions was a number of people served in general and then the number of people who could still stand to use services who are wait listed. And how long is that list, the wait list?
Right now I think we might have about five, but typically by the time we hit December and January, we're usually looking around 20 to 25 people. So,
and I think the last time I checked the database was since 2008, we've permanently housed over 600 veterans.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
600 veterans. Okay.
That's just coming out of the Grant Per Diem program.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's more stuff in the SSVF program too.
Right. Well, SSVF is... it's, you know, it's a newer program, and we're also, RevCo is one of the grantees that provides SSVF services in Jackson County, but Access also does too. We work in partnership with them. And so I don't have like the total numbers of veteran families housed for you here, but I can, speaking for RevCo, I know that we've housed, through SSVF, we've housed 50 veterans and or their families since January 1st of this year.
You run a resource center too, is that right? At Rogue Valley Veterans and Community Outreach. I see why you call yourselves RevCo.
It's a long one.
tell us about the resource center.
So basically, what we have is we have phone service, we have a computer lab, and they can receive their mail there. So the only thing they have to do is just provide proof that they are a veteran. So veteran ID or a DD-214 and. they don't have that, we can order that for them as well. So we're kind of like they walk in the door and they're unsure of what exactly they need and where they need to go. And so we just basically open ourselves up to let people come in, and we try to help them navigate through community partners or through the VA, and, you know, and act as an advocate or a liaison for them.
I'm going to guess you probably run into a few people who are not joiners, prefer to keep to themselves. How do you handle those situations and give what help is needed?
Well, Mike, you want to touch on that since you do most
of the
outreach?
One of the things that we try to do mostly is through our transparency and our honesty is try to build trust with these veterans, because a lot of veterans have trust issues. And so that one thing that I get the privilege to do with, I get to go with the Medford Police Department down into the homeless camps and try to, with the VA, a VA representative, trying to at least give them the understanding that there is help and that we care. And we just try to build trust through our honesty and transparency and try to let them try to meet their needs if they're willing to. And if not, if one's not willing, I guess this is something, Samantha, recovery is for someone who wants it, not for someone who needs it. So,
All right. Well said. We'll come back and explore more about how to bring in homeless vets in from the cold, essentially, is what a lot of the process is here at RevCo, Rogue Valley Veterans and Community Outreach. Back with our guests and your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 10. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're exploring the services available for veterans in the Rogue Valley through the organization known as Rogue Valley Veterans and Community Outreach, otherwise known as RevCo, part of our ongoing local focus project with Southern Oregon Public TV, looking into services available for veterans. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk to Samantha Bricks, the RevCo Executive Director, Michael Swick, the lead case manager for SSVF, Supportive Services for Veteran Families. I got it right once. Mike Whitfield is with us as well, the Grants and Per Diem case manager, also working on outreach, and Wayne Holbrook is a graduate of the Grants and Per Diem program. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And Mike Whitfield, you were just talking about handling outreach stuff and going out to look for people who might need services. There is a perception that a lot of homeless people are veterans. Is that Does that square with your own experience?
I would say that, yeah, there's quite a bit. I'd say that probably that maybe 20 to 25% are veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And
so not a majority, certainly, but a bunch.
There's quite a few, yeah. And we try our best trying to give them the services that they need to get off the streets. And so one of the things that we also do is we put together a big event over in Josephine County for the veterans in Josephine County, the homeless veterans. It's called a stand-up. We rented the fairgrounds. It's February 5th, all day long, from 8 to 3 at Josephine County Fairgrounds.
Stand-up as opposed to stand down.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same concept. It's actually considered a stand-down, but we call it a stand-up. And so that's one of our big events, and we're also involved in the stand down. And then on Veterans Day, we have a parade here in Medford, and also our second annual Veterans Day appreciation barbecue at our facility starting at noon. So,
all kinds of stuff. I want to come back to Wayne Holbrook. Were you ever homeless in the process of trying to make the adjustment back to civilian life?
No, I was never really considered homeless. You know, even though I was out at the VA, because I was out there, I guess you could kind of say I was, but, you know, because I did give up my apartment to move out there. And then when I went into the Grant Per Diem program, then, yeah, you could classify me as homeless. But as far as living on the streets, no. I've always been able to maintain through my alcoholism to maintain some place. To a degree, because a lot of my drinking was while I was still in the service, so I had a place to live. But when I got out of the service in 2005, I still had a place to live because, you know, I was married, so I still was able to maintain a place. Somehow I've been able to do that. I have, you know, and when I got into the Grant Per Diem program, basically I just had to start over. you know, because I didn't know what paying bills was like because I drank a lot. So paying bills was second, was nothing that I was really concerned with.
Not a lot of attention to household details.
No, and even learning to remember to brush my teeth in the morning was a new concept. And, you know, and everyday things like shopping for food, you know, I never did that, you know, and the basic needs is what I had to start over with.
Did you go straight into the military? I know you were in two branches of the service, Army and Navy. Did you go straight into the military out of high school? In other words, right out of your parents' home?
No, I actually joined the service when I was 21. Mm-hmm. And I actually signed up here in Medford at the Navy recruiting station, and you know, and I did 4 years in the Navy, all down in California, and then in 1994, I joined the Army. I got out in 97, and I joined the National Guard in 97, and got out in 2005 after I was deployed to Iraq.
Was it structure you were seeking? Is that the major reason you did the military?
Well, my grandmother was the one that actually suggested I join the service because I wasn't really going anywhere in life, and she thought that being in the service would give me some sort of structure, you know, and kind of be a way of learning a trade.
So that's where you went. Okay. So
yeah.
Is this a fairly typical story for the folks who work at Revco? I mean, people who were looking for something to do that would engage them, use their skills?
I would say a majority of the veterans that come through our program, most of them either joined right out of high school or soon thereafter. So,
well,
yeah.
They were in Vietnam, they got drafted.
Yeah.
So
right.
They didn't have much
right.
choice.
Yeah,
so.
yeah. Okay. Well, what I was getting at by way of a question was that these are people who, not in Wayne's case, obviously, but in a bunch of cases, it sounds like people who never really had to maintain their own household before they got into the military.
It's very true. And the veterans that, you know, live barrack style and food is provided and you know, they don't have to spend a lot of money. So going grocery shopping and creating a budget, and it's, for some guys, it's a new way. And some of them got married right after they got out of the military. So, you know, and things were different back then. So, yeah.
It was a drop-off question from Rex in Mount Shasta. He wants to know if there's a payer program available where they'll pay, I assume this means you guys at Revco, where you'll pay for the rent out of the proceeds that the veteran is receiving.
Proceeds like income?
Yeah.
The way that would tie in is, you know, when we're working with our veteran and working with their budgeting and their income and their expenses, if they can afford to pay 25% of their rent or 50% of their rent, and then the grant pays 50%, then the answer is yes. I mean, you know, I don't know if it would be, the veteran would pay a portion of the rent through their income, but their income could be from a variety of places. It could be disability income, it could be pension, it could be earned income. I mean, you know, there's a lot of different resources for income. So I don't know if the person with the question was talking about a specific income or not, but yeah, we can definitely split it up like proportionally depending on the veteran's ability to pay month
Mike,
to month.
I see you leaning in.
And on the grant per diem side, if they have an income over $500 a month, there is a $100 house fee. But other than that, if they make an income under $500, there is no charge for the veteran. That's only on the grant per diem side.
Okay, well, let's reset here just a little bit because I want to make sure we're identifying the differences between the SSVF and the grants and per diem program. So in a nutshell, SSVF, Michael, does what?
Okay, so in a nutshell, SSVF helps veterans and their families get into housing, but it's not. We don't identify we don't have housing that we delegate to them. They actually, you know, we get housing off of the rental market, and then they apply for it just like a regular citizen would, and then get approved, and then we help them move in, and then we help support them financially for a set period of time. And then, do you want to explain?
The SSVF is what they call a housing first model. And so what we do is we get them housed first, and then we start working around those barriers that they might have. Becoming gainfully employed, saving money, whatever that looks like. versus grant per diem, where we bring them in, they must maintain sobriety. The program is set up a little bit differently. If they're in a communal living environment, they can stay up to 24 months.
We have the housing.
And
yeah.
we have the housing. So SSVF, they're trying to get them into a house or into an apartment. So it looks a little bit different.
Okay. But the housing first thing has been such a big issue for the last couple of years, it seems like. Places like Salt Lake City, I think, are using this extensively. Seattle, I think, might have pioneered it. But you're not setting any barriers for people and saying you can't have housing if you're still drunk, for example.
Right. And so they do believe that, based off the data that they've gotten, is that if you can get them housed, you know, get them shelter and, you know, a warm place to sleep, a place they can shower, you know, a place to sleep at night, all those things, it's easier to address some of the other things. It's really hard to go out and look for work when you haven't had a shower in 3 days, you don't have clean clothes, you haven't been able to sit down someplace to eat. So it's, you know, providing that housing first and then working on everything else afterwards.
And how much work does it take, Michael, to get landlords to go out there for this concept?
It varies a lot, but as we grow and do this grant longer and longer and increase our relationships with landlords in the area, the process is getting easier. But there's still sometimes it takes 2 months for us to find a house for one of our clients, and sometimes we'll have a family come in and like 3 days later they're signing a lease. So there's a bunch of components that are involved, and I hate to say it, but some of it's timing and luck. And because the thing is I may have five single veterans that are looking for a one bedroom, and I have one family of four that comes in, and the only thing that like I've got ready, you know, because we have a list of available housing that gets updated all the time, and like I may only have like a two or three bedroom house on that list. So like the family that comes in, they've only worked with us a week, but we can get them housed right away. And then sometimes it's sometimes it works the other way. So it's our goal is to get anybody that comes to us to get them housed within 30 days. I would say we're pretty good at hitting that. Sometimes it does take a little longer, though. And the veterans in our program, you know, they have to put in some footwork too. You know, so like going out and actually looking at places. And we have peer mentors. We have two right now that are on our staff, and they help us. They help the veterans by they can take veterans to look at places if they don't have a house. They can help them fill out rental applications and introduce them to the landlord, because a lot of our clients, you know, they don't have real good their social coping skills are rusty. So, you know, they may be really nervous about meeting a landlord or something. And so our peer mentors can actually take them into the community and introduce them again. It's the warm handoff concept.
Well, are there connections between the programs? Can people come into your housing through grants and per diem and then end up in the SSVF program?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It happens every day.
Okay.
Yeah, so I try to identify when they first come in if they might actually be a better fit for SSVF. We still might put them into the grant per diem program. It's what the VA calls bridging. Mm-hmm. And so we put them into grant per diem, and so the case manager for grant per diem and then the case manager for SSVF works collaboratively with the veteran, so they can get them moved into permanent housing faster.
Now, Michael Swick, when you said that as the grant continues, I just wonder about the vulnerability, since you're relying upon VA grants from the Department of Veterans Affairs to fund these programs. What happens if Congress gets a wild hair and decides, well, either we're going to shut down the government or we're going to reduce funding for X program, whether that has ever been an issue since you've been holding these programs?
Well, like I said, I've only been doing this for 2 years, so it hasn't been an issue for our grant yet. Jackson County just got what they call the Priority One funding, which as of April 1st, Jackson County was identified as a higher needs area in the country, and we were given $6 million additional dollars for over a three-year period.
Okay,
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what's the overall budget for RevCo, and how big a staff do you have?
Well, we currently have a staff of 14,
wow.
So we're very small.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to point out that we have an amazing, dedicated staff. We have very, very, very small turnover, which is great for me and for the veterans that we serve, because these are very dedicated people who don't just work during our business hours, but respond to crisis 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so which is pretty amazing. As far as our budget goes, I believe for the SSVF grant this year, I believe it was about $670,000. For our grant per diem, it's a reimbursement, so we basically get $38.90 a night per veteran. So if we're at capacity, it's around $45,000 a month. Mm-hmm. So, but that's, you know, that's all that money is basically to cover all of our utilities, payroll, you know, leases on the houses or our mortgages, things like that, and to provide services.
Where do you see yourselves moving in the future at RevCo? What are the programs that you'd like to get into, because nobody's doing them yet, or just do what you're doing now bigger?
Well, there's two things that our board of directors and myself have been working on, and we're starting to see a lot more women veterans coming into the Valley, that there's not a lot of housing options. And so that's one thing that we are, we're starting to really focus on, would be the female veterans with children. And the other thing is that our grant per diem program currently works with Department of Justice, and we go out into the prisons throughout the state, and we bring veterans into our grant per diem program that way. We go out and we conduct an intake at the prison and then identify if they're a good fit for SSVF or GPD. And so there's a lot more inmates that are getting released into Jackson County with not a lot of supportive services. So that's another direction that we've been talking about, is looking at that as well.
Okay, so certainly some steps to consider for the future to continue the programs at Rogue Valley Veterans and Community Outreach, or RevCo. I want to thank you all for joining us today. Samantha Bricks is the RevCo Executive Director. Michael Swick is the lead case manager for SSVF, Supportive Services for Veteran Families.
Twice.
Mike Whitfield is a Grants and Per Diem case manager and is in charge of outreach. Thank you, Mike. And
thank you.
And Wayne Holbrook is a graduate of the Grants and Per Diem program. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Exchange.
Thank you very much.
Our local focus project with Southern Oregon Public TV continues with the airing of the Rick Burns documentary Debt of Honor next Tuesday night at 8, followed by a local focus program, rather like the Jefferson Exchange, on TV. We hope you get a chance to join us as we continue through the project.